hymn, O Come All Ye Faithful, whenever I sing that in Latin, Adeste Fidel, I feel like Bing Crosby. And I love it. I love it. Yesterday, after the 4 p.m. Mass, this kid comes over. He's a teenager, and he puts his arm around me. He says, Father, you sing louder than a rooster with a megaphone. And I said, I have never heard that analogy before, but thank you, Mark. And anyway, I had to tell you a miracle that happened at 4 o'clock Mass. Of course, there were people in the rafters. And everything. But anyway, there was a contingent right back here, maybe about 10 pews or so back. And of course, the sun was setting at 4 o'clock, so the sun was over here. But this whole people over here I noticed they were kind of chatting, doing that. And they were looking over here, the Christ child, there was like all lit up as from the outside, but there's no light over there. How did that happen? I don't know. It was a miracle. And I'm going to put it on my Facebook later and you'll see it in the bulletin, but it's just like God is continuing to just show us miracles, little ones, but really beautiful ones. I want to reflect today, this Christmas, on why Bethlehem? Of all places, why Bethlehem? Listen to this poem. O little town of Bethlehem, yes, that's true, but why? Why should this tiny village birth the dayspring from on high? Why should the weary shepherds make their way there in the night to see the very Son of God in heaven's perfect light? Why should the rays of God's own star fall on that lowly place? Why should the wise men come from afar to fall upon their face? There is no throne in Bethlehem, no palace and no glory. So why should such a tiny spot be where to start his story? Oh, why a town like Bethlehem? I just don't understand why you would choose that meager place for God to come to man. Beautiful poem. It's anonymous. I don't know exactly who wrote it. I Googled it. You can't even find it on the Google. But I will tell you, Micah the prophet, one of the 12 minor prophets, he prophesies 700 years before Jesus comes that the Savior, the Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem. And this is his prophecy in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are so little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be the ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days, who will save my people. And the reason that Micah has to give the full name of Bethlehem, this Bethlehem over here, that we have symbolized right here is Bethlehem Ephrathah. Because there was another Bethlehem that was up north a little bit in Zebulun. And that Bethlehem was a trading post. There was businesses there. There was money there. There were powerful people there. It was a populated area like the capital. And everybody thought, well, that's the Bethlehem that you're talking about, Micah. And Micah says, oh, no, no. I'm talking about Bethlehem Ephrathah. And they're going, what? That dump? Because Bethlehem, the Ephrathah, where Jesus is born 2,000 years ago, was a ghost town. It was not a very nice place. Not many people lived there. It only had two things going for it, which I'll circle back to in a minute. But they were bread makers, and they raised lambs. That will be important in a moment. But it was kind of a dump. And Jesus chooses that place to be born. Now remember, now yesterday evening we, at the 4 and the 7 o'clock masses, we reenacted this, but I won't put you through that. But anyway, this was fun because this is in the book of Ruth. And the whole reason that I even was thinking about the book of Ruth is because we had a funeral last week for a parishioner, a very, very, very faithful woman named Ruth Pennycuff. But I was, listen to this. This is beautiful. This tells the story in the book of Ruth about how Ruth and her husband, Elimelech, they lived in Bethlehem. Imagine this is Bethlehem over here. And then one day a famine happened. This is 1,000 years before Jesus. There's a famine. And Ruth and Naomi and her husband Elimelech have two sons, and they leave. They go to Moab over here, which is a different country, because to escape the famine. They live there for 15 years. But while they're there, their two sons fall in love with Moabite women, and they get married to Moabite women. And one of the ones that gets one of this boys marries a woman named Ruth. Then all of a sudden, the two sons and the husband of Naomi all die. And so it's Naomi and her two daughters-in-law that are left in Moab. And Naomi says, I'm going back. It's been 15 years. The famine is over. I'm going back to Bethlehem. You both get married to new men and start lives here. You're from Moab. Stay in Moab. This is where you belong. But Ruth says to her mother-in-law, Naomi, I will not abandon you. I will stay by your side forever. And so Ruth joins her mother-in-law, Naomi. The other one was Orpah, and she stayed behind and started a new life. But Naomi and her daughter-in-law, Ruth, walk over to Moab, from Moab to Bethlehem. And there, Ruth meets a new husband, a farmer named Boaz. Boaz and Ruth have a son named Obed. Obed has a son named Jesse. Jesse has a son named David. And of David in 2 Samuel, it is prophesied that by God, that David, of him will be born, of David will be the kingdom that knows no end. Here it is in 2 Samuel 7, verse 12. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up from your offspring, David, after you, you shall come forth from, your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father. He will be my son. Of his kingdom, there will be no end. This is prophesied to David, that one of his descendants, somebody from his lineage, will be the ultimate Messiah. Fast forward from that 1,000 years, that story of Ruth, because she's a Moabite in Bethlehem, meets a Bethlehem farmer, starts a family, and this is all, like, look how God sets stuff up. It's so cool how God sets stuff up. But then it's the reason that Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem, of course, is because Caesar Augustus says that you have to go to your homeland, where your family is from. And it was Joseph's great, 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 all the way back, grandpa, who was King David, who was a farmer in Bethlehem raising sheep. And that's where Joseph, that's where his lineage was. So they went to Bethlehem, and it was there that the Christ child was born. That light entered into the world, that God took flesh. And this is why it's important. It is of utmost importance. For one reason, as I said, it was kind of a ghost town, kind of a dumpy place, a messy place, a smelly place. And look how God comes there. And sometimes people think, you know, God isn't interested in me. I'm not a priest, I'm not a nun, I'm not a bishop, I'm not a whatever. But there is nobody that God isn't interested in. God is interested in the lowliest sparrow. God wants to come into everybody's life. And some people say, well, my life is too messy, too smelly, too sinful, too dark. I don't have the right last name. I don't have the right job. I don't have the right friends. I don't have the right zip code. God wants in. Well, my family wasn't born Catholic, and I'm... God wants in. He wants in everywhere. This is the message of Christmas, is that Jesus wants to be born in every heart, in every corner of this world. He wants in. And unlike the innkeeper, we need to say yes. Our eternal salvation depends upon it. Yes, Jesus, I accept you. Come into my life. Another reason that it's important that he would be born in Bethlehem is because Bethlehem literally translates to house of bread. Now, this Bethlehem, in all its history, they were bread makers. And so they would make bread and export it to Jerusalem and to other cities. Jesus says in John chapter 6, and by the way, I have my first Holy Communion picture in John chapter 6. I suggest you should have yours. I was a really handsome kid. And the funny thing was, there's about 40 of us kids here, and Father Charlie has his arms around two boys up right next to him, around our necks. Both of us went to seminary, and I became a priest. Michael Parrott did not. But anyways, John chapter 6 is all about the Eucharist, where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. But he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. This is the bread which comes from heaven, not like the bread that your fathers ate. They still died. But he who eats this bread will live forever. That Jesus, who is the bread of life, is born in a place called House of Bread. And where is he laid? In the manger, which is from a Latin word mangiare, which means to eat. He is placed in the feeding trough, where the animals would eat and feed. And this cannot be lost on us. That he was laid in swaddling clothes, just like at Mass, there's a corporal, an altar cloth. This cannot be lost on us. The ultimate feeding trough is this place here. Is the altar. I'm here to tell you the good news is that Jesus, yes, he came in the form of a child 2,000 years ago, but every day he comes to this feeding trough, which is the altar, because he is the bread of life. Here we feed on God. We are meant to run on God. Nothing else will keep us going. We'll just be walking zombies. We'll be sleepwalking through life without Jesus. But when we come here and we feed on him, and when we eat his flesh and drink his blood, we have the fullness of life here and hereafter. And God designed it so from the beginning. And remember, Bethlehem was also the other good thing it had going for it, was they raised lambs there. Because people would walk from far and far away, but they didn't want to bring lambs on their shoulders. So they would, Bethlehem was only 7 miles away from Jerusalem to the south. And so people would go there and they would buy a lamb that they would then take to Jerusalem to sacrifice it. But Jesus says in John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist says, I should say, of Jesus, behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. We say that at every Mass, where the priest lifts up Jesus and says, behold the Lamb of God. This is the ultimate Lamb, the ultimate sacrifice. The ultimate sacrifice. Don't you see why Jesus is born in Bethlehem? Why this matters so much is because he is the ultimate sacrifice. People waited. The ultimate Messiah. People waited thousands and thousands and thousands of years, crying, weeping, wailing, hoping against hope, praying for the Messiah, for the Savior. Finally, he comes. You and I live in an anointed time. Don't you see? Because we live, he's here. He's in that tabernacle. He's going to be on this altar, and those of us who are Catholic in a state of grace will receive him into ourselves at this very Mass, as we do every Sunday at every Mass, some of us every single day, because we receive him. People waited and wept and cried for this, and we live in a time where the Messiah and the Savior is here, but we're part of the story. This is the Bible, but this is not the full story of God, because you and I are parts of it. We are participate in the sacrifice and the life of God. Because when you and I go to communion, when we go to the house of bread, and when we eat at the manger that is the altar, the Lamb of God, which is Jesus Christ, that when we receive him, that we receive the very body, blood, soul, and divinity of God, and that we then become God more. We He lives his life in us so that I'm not alive anymore. Galatians chapter 2. I have been crucified with Christ. I still live my mortal life, but he lives within me. And this is it. The Eucharist has to shape our whole life, or we're not even Christians. Because the Eucharist is Jesus, who is the bread of life, the Lamb of God, whom we feed upon at every Mass. This was set up from the get-go. And this is for you and for me. Jesus is so good. The reason we say it's Christmas is Christ Mass. This is the Mass. Every day is Christmas for a Catholic. Every day is Christmas for a Catholic because every day Jesus comes to this manger to feed our souls so that we don't faint away. And then the last time we receive communion, our viaticum on this earth, by the power of God within us, not our own power, we will make it home. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.